You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
He pioneered Jets blogging and podcasting. He brought smiles to the faces of Jets fans all over the world. He was there through the good and bad. And then, one day, he vanished. People far and wide wondered, where has he gone? When will he return? Thankfully, the answer is now. The OG of Jets podcasting and vlogging is back.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
This is There's Always Next Year with Brian Bassett.
I'm back. The real me. Let's not make a whole thing of it.
And his co-hosts, Chef Travis Milton.
Today we're going to be making the students my tasty baked ziti with basil and fresh mozzarella.
And Josh Conrad.
Oh, my brother, testify.
On Turn on the Jets Digital.
Welcome back to There's Always Next Year. I'm your host, Brian Bassett. You can follow me on Twitter at Brian_Bassett. And with Josh Conrad, who you can find on Twitter at Josh_Conrad. And as always, we are joined by Golden Girls enthusiast, White Claw connoisseur, Travis Milton, who you can find on Twitter at -37board27. So fellas, two in a row. We're streaking. The Jets have a big win over Washington, 34-17. But I think before we get into all that, we have to talk about Doelle Gaines and his challenge. He had a successful challenge, guys. He's now 1-3 in his challenges. How are we feeling about that?
I'm so proud of that little guy.
Yeah, you're so proud of him. Good.
Listen, to represent the Shire as well as he does is just amazing.
Yeah, we have to talk about the fact that, do you guys know, I went to his Wikipedia page because I had to find out after watching him again on the sideline. Do you know how tall he is? Give me a guess.
That's a great question. I'm going to say he is 5'5".
Okay. Travis, what do you think?
Are we going Price is Right rules here?
We're gonna go.
Are you gonna go 1 inch?
No. We're gonna go closest, but doesn't
Travis
matter.
Taking the under
over or under, like just closest doesn't matter. No, not Price is Right rules. No.
All right. I'm gonna say 5'6.5".
Okay. Travis wins. He's listed at 5'6".
Yes.
5'6". And it's like, because I was like, gosh, he's short. But I know he's in front of a bunch of big guys. But yeah, that was, I didn't think he was 5'6 until I went to the site. So anyway, congrats to Doelle. I don't know how to say, I never know how to say his name. So I'm just going to say Doelle. But congrats on that. And then, hey guys, the win, like Sam's best day ever, 19 for 30, 293 yards, 4 scores, 1 interception, which was a little brutal, but I mean, what are we seeing from Sam Darnold that we have haven't seen, basically, like when you think about the Patriots game and you think about what you saw yesterday, aside from the fact that their defenses are totally different, one is good and one is bad. What did you see from Sam yesterday, Josh?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, as from the start of the year, feeling like we had a healthy Quincy, we had Robbie Anderson, we're going to get Herndon back. Like, not one of those guys has really either caught a number of passes or any passes. He's working with, obviously, Jamison Crowder, Ryan Griffin a lot. I'm just seeing, like, maturity. I know 2 weeks ago we were a little worried about, is Sam regressing at this point? Do we feel like he's taking a step back from all the promise we saw at the second half of last year? But, man, I really feel like there's a maturity that's happening. I don't know if it's, geez, like, hose me down, boys, but, like, is there something to this, like, Adam Gase run offense that, like, after 10 games, does it just start to click a little bit? I know we're playing terrible teams, but I feel like something, you know, the new coach quarterback thing that takes, you know, usually a half season or a season to figure out, I'm getting a little frisky here thinking maybe we got something cooking. Call me crazy.
Okay. Travis, what do you think? I have some thoughts, but I want to hold them reserved until I hear Travis. What did you think about Sam and his game yesterday? Trending.
Awareness. Like, his movement in the pocket was great. Second straight week in a row that, you know, there were some design rollouts, things like that. And it goes a little bit to what Josh is saying. I think that, you know, we are playing really shitty teams, but at the same time, you know, I think that he's finding his way in the offense a little bit, and Gase is finding how to utilize a lot of the pieces around him a little bit. A lot of, you know, checkdowns that speaks to, like, Griffin and Brown getting so many catches. But, you know, that's just spreading things out even more and opening up Crowder and things like that. So I think the pocket awareness has been the biggest thing, because I think that was the thing I was most critical of him the couple weeks prior of, you know, going back to that conversation about not seeing the field, mm-hmm. defense is confusing him. And I think that he's seeing everything a lot better right now. And I think that that's doing wonders for both him and the rest of the offense.
Yeah. He had a quote. I was on the New York Post site, and they were kind of asking him about Haskins and kind of, you know, what he's seeing and that sort of thing. And there was a quote where that he made to the New York Post, Sam Darnold, that is, saying that he said, quote unquote, I was thinking too much. And I definitely think that's true. He was trying to kind of ingest too much, diagnose the field. And so I think that is certainly part of what we're seeing. It's more intuitive at this point. He feels more comfortable with, you know, the reads, the progressions, the protections, that sort of thing. But yes, and he's certainly not facing the Patriots. So that definitely helps. But the other thing, which you touched on, Travis, which I was going to say anyway if you hadn't said it, is the rollouts. They were rolling him out a lot, and it was working, right? Because that seems to be where Sam Darnold is the most comfortable, when kind of, you know, he's on a moving platform and he only has to read half the field, and right, and he's got a check down kind of moving with him. That seems to work to his strengths, and we get it. Like, he's a second-year player. He's one of the youngest quarterbacks in the league still as a second-year player. So I'm not surprised that he's having more success when they're simplifying some of the reads and the progressions for him. But I do think, you know, the physical component to Sam's game has never been in question. And when you see some of those, you know, throws he throws downfield, like, oh my gosh, you know, with just more maturity, you know, that and that arm and that precision and accuracy, like the Ryan Griffin touchdown play, you know, that was quite a throw. Put it in a perfect spot where he could just run, to daylight on the other end of that throw. It wasn't like he had to slow up or, you know, change his direction markedly enough that it would have changed the play of the game. So seeing more of that kind of stuff. And I mean, I thought Crowder was going to be good. And I think that's another thing too. Like, in that, remember going back to the very first game of the season, what did he have, like 17 targets? And so he is that reliable kind of possession style slot receiver. And so it's made things help, you know, healthy for Sam in terms of the passing game. One of the things we definitely need to talk about, though, is the running game. You know, Lev certainly had some plays where he was getting first downs early on, but you know, Bilal Powell kind of emerged out of nowhere. He saw a number of snaps and, you know, played well. Travis, what were your thoughts about him particularly?
I mean, it's actually starting to be a little bit worrying to me, like seeing how well Powell played in his limited time and how, you know, he picked up, I believe it was 42 yards on seven carries. His yards per carry was way higher than Le'Veon Bell's. It's a little concerning to me, but at the same time, there's two completely different running styles. Like, Le'Veon Bell is super patient, waits for the holes to open up. Bilal Powell is that straight ahead, steamrolling, you know, not waiting for anything to open up. He's just going. And I'm starting to wonder, with the offensive line being what it is, do we need to get Bilal Powell into the games more? Because, you know, the holes that they're opening up aren't there long enough for Le'Veon Bell to get anywhere, and side-to-side action is not working. So I really think that he needs to be a bigger part of the game plan, just based off of his style and based off of the play of the offensive line. And I hope to see that. And hopefully I think that it will open up things a little bit more for Le'Veon Bell, especially in the passing game. But that was encouraging and disheartening for me to see kind of at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, that's a great point. I think, you know, Le'Veon Bell and his patience are rewarded when you've got, as you say, great offensive line play. But you know, who can kind of create those disciplined, you know, holes, you know, to emerge. And we just weren't seeing that. And I was interested. I was watching the Rams game on Sunday night, and their offensive line has had challenges, but they tried a new scheme last night where they were basically doing double, like taking two players and double teaming, you know, one defender, defensive lineman, and it was creating a lot of space for Todd Gurley. So, and I would expect something like that from Sean McVay, to kind of revamp his offense on the fly with, you know, young players, and it seems to be working. I don't know if I'm as confident in Adam Gase figuring out something like that that's going to work, especially with this group. At the same time, though, right, I agree with you. I think Powell's style is much more geared towards not having good offensive line play and kind of making it on your own, right? So I don't know. Did you have any specific thoughts around kind of the checkdowns and the tight end and kind of slot receiver play and how that interacted with the running backs, Josh?
Yeah, it was interesting to see, like, man, like a game plan that suits Sam's needs, which I know we kind of just hit, but obviously the running game, especially with Powell coming in later and just, yeah, like hammering that line and then constantly moving the pile, like that, it does just open up options. And so, like, a game plan tailored to a quarterback who on design rollouts is very good with options. Like, he's going to make some good wise decisions when he's got more than 2 seconds in the pocket. And so getting him out in space, freed up by a running game that was at least effective. I mean, the Redskins defense isn't terrible. It's at least middle of the pack, you know, across the league. So, you know, like, I felt like some of the stuff that Griffin was doing, like just really decent route running, opened up all the options, all the catches for him. Obviously Crowder made some really great plays as well. I feel like, man, like it just looked like a competent game plan. It felt like everybody was kind of on the same page. Maybe for the first or second time this year, it felt like everything was just kind of clicking. Obviously it's against a team that's coming into the game at 1-8. So, you know, it's not great competition, but, you know, like, we have to start somewhere. And if we can start with everybody kind of on the same page and execution matching the game plan, like, man, if that was their game plan coming in, great. And if it wasn't and they made adjustments to it, even better. Like, that's one of the things we've said, is we've not seen in-game adjustments from Adam Gase be effective in the second half. And I feel like, you know, they went into half obviously up pretty big, and the second half got to be just a little bit more relaxed. But, man, it just felt like everything was clicking kind of all day, and that is encouraging to see.
Yeah, I think when I think about Crowder and, you know, Bilal Powell's reaching the end of his career, Lev Bell's definitely going to be on this team next year. They'll hopefully improve the offensive line, and that will only help him. But you know, they are certainly a team in flux when it comes to pass catchers, right? We thought Quincy Enunwa was going to come into this year and be a big part of what they would do kind of as a flanker, you know, X receiver type. Obviously that hasn't worked out with his injury. Demaryius Thomas is here for, I don't know, however long they'll need him, but I don't imagine, you know, he's certainly not a long-term solution at his age. And then, you know, there's some other players that are, you know, questionable. Chris Herndon, had a phenomenal year in 2018. Obviously, you know, had his suspension and then his injury this year. But what I want to know from you guys is, do you think, when you look at what Ryan Griffin, tight end, and Jamison Crowder are contributing to this team, do you feel like these are players that they can build around? I mean, certainly I would say they're upgradable, but are these players we can kind of put into parts of this offense over the next 2 or 3 years? What do you say, Travis?
I mean, I think, Griffin, it's kind of a weird, like, conundrum with him because I believe he's in his sixth or seventh season, and he's never really done much at all until the past 3 weeks. I think that he is one of those kind of role player guys that you definitely need. I don't know if he's a build around kind of person. And none was starting to worry me with all of this injury fine thing. That's a whole nother. We've had so many freaking bizarre, stupid things happen with players this year, yeah, beyond injuries, that it's nuts. Call me crazy, but I actually am skeptical that Robbie Anderson will be around next year. I think somebody's going to want to overpay for him, and he's not going to be there. I really do think that we're going to try to – I believe the draft, everything I've heard, wide receiver and skill positions are pretty – mm-hmm. stacked at the front. You know me, I want offensive linemen, but I don't know that we have that many people outside of Herndon and Crowder and obviously Bell on the offensive line that are build around kind of people. I think that we've got more role players than anything else, and that's part of the problem, but it's cool getting to see the role players stepping up and doing really great things. I just don't think it's sustainable.
What do you think there, Josh?
Yeah, I would agree. Obviously, the Ryan Griffin stuff, like the best thing that he's known for to me is he's a UConn alum, and so let's go State of Connecticut. But ho hum. I mean, you know, stick around in the league for 6 years says something about the guy. But you know, there's obviously not much special athleticism. You know, obviously, I think we are missing, you know, dynamic playmakers, and Herndon, interestingly, from that tight end position is one of those guys. And so, you know, Griffin is a viable backup, you know, if this Herndon thing keeps getting weirder and more injuries pile on more injuries. But I think I also agree about Robbie Anderson probably being gone. Jamison Crowder, like, he's always been serviceable. I know, like, in the fantasy world, it's like the guy's a catch machine. We saw that obviously week one. He's been serviceable the last couple of weeks, but you know, he's a guy you want in your lineup. Like, it is a piece, it's a smaller piece. I mean, I think slot guys are a little bit of a dime a dozen, but I do like a guy like Crowder that has been around the league, been with a few different teams, and seems to always be wanted on offenses that are looking to get possession receivers. So, you know, I like having Ryan Griffin. I don't think he's starting if Chris Herndon is healthy right now. I certainly don't think that. But, if he's gotten some of the comfortability with Sam and it's getting us touchdowns and moving the chains, you know, during this, you know, seemingly still dreadful season, it's nice to have. I don't know that he's a building block, but it's good to have guys that you can at least rely on if you get some injuries to your starting tight end. But, yeah, you know, obviously there's going to be a lot of a lot of skill position talk. Offensive line needs needs addressing in the draft as well. But yeah, it's certainly right at the top. It's going to be a lot of wide receivers. And so, you know, if there's a guy way up there and the Jets are in the top five or top seven picks, like, they're going to probably have to grab one of those guys, because it is such a deep draft at the top with really high end prospects at the wide receiver position, which, again, you need that for a young quarterback as well.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
You know, looking at Ryan Griffin's profile, kind of as we've talked about, right, he's almost 30, right? So, but, you know, we have seen players break out at the tight end position late in their career. Delanie Walker is an example of that. Gary Barnage a couple years ago with the Browns is an example of that. And tight end tends to be a position that you need, you know, 3 years in the league to learn. And the reason is because not only do they need to pick up the protection schemes, they need to pick up, you know, the route running, you know, schemes. And so it is one of the more complicated positions to play in the NFL. Ryan Griffin, obviously for the Jets, was an opportunistic signing. And I guess that was a Joe Douglas signing, right? Yeah, it was a Joe Douglas signing. It was opportunistic because if you remember at the NFL draft in the spring, you know, he, I don't know, punches out a window or something, you know, kind of during the celebration and festivities. And so he's on the street. The case was thrown out. Who knows, you know, what the truth of it all was. But, you know, he has the type of agility that you want to see out of a tight end. And in college, you know, he was a dominant player when he was at UConn, obviously playing, you know, in a conference that's not, you know, the SEC or something like that, but still he was a dominant player in college. You know, was a, you know, when he caught the ball, it was on long catches. So he's the type of player that you're looking for at a tight end as a contributor, as a route runner. And so I like the fact that they were using him in a two-way setting, but, you know, obviously, you know, offensively. And I like the fact that they were running lots of two tight end sets yesterday, you know, and even, you know, sometimes Wesco was in there too. So having as many players as they did on the field to protect the pocket was definitely helpful. And then, you know, Ryan Griffin is the guy who tends to leak out. And then, you know, Jamison Crowder, right, you know, he's, I think we talked about this in the springtime some, but Adam Gase loves slot receivers. I mean, think of all the things he did with Jarvis Landry when the two of them were in Miami together. And, you know, not that Jamison Crowder is as sturdy, let's say, as Jarvis Landry, but he has some of that same aspect to his game. And so, yeah, I think in that way, you know, he has been a reliable player. I don't know if he's the sort of player that you can, you know, turn into a workhorse receiver type, but certainly he's going to have these games where he's going to have a lot of catches and a lot of yards, a lot of first downs. So anyway, let's talk a little bit about Jamal Adams. I think we need to talk about Jamal Adams again. I know he's a popular figure on this podcast, but he had another huge day, three more sacks, you know, which if you look at, as I kind of slash this with the check the timeline, Connor Hughes had a great tweet yesterday where he writes on Sunday night, he says, Jet safety Jamal Adams has six sacks this season. Rams defensive end Errol Donald has six sacks this season. And so the point that it kind of goes back to the, you know, the whole thing, are they going to trade him? Are they not going to trade him? And while I think it was a dumb move, certainly Jamal Adams has taken the high road in the whole situation, and his play is showing it. And so, like, he is so disruptive on the field. I mean, you know, for a safety, you know, people say, oh, safety is not a valuable position. Well, I don't, you know, compared to other positions like cornerback or, you know, whatever defensive, you know, like outside linebacker, kind of rush linebacker type person. While I'm not going to argue tons with that, what I will say is, yeah, but Jamal Adams is a different maker at this position and well worth the value. Do you feel like we're in a place where we need to, that we being the Jets, Joe Douglas, we need to re-sign this guy in the coming offseason as a way to cement the marriage between the Jets and Adams, or can they kind of, you know, play coy with him another year and, you know, go down the franchise tag role? What would you do if you're Joe Douglas?
Yeah, I really think that it would go a long way with Jamal if they went ahead and showed that commitment as early as they possibly can, especially with everything that's happened in the past couple of weeks with the trade deadline and then the kind of feud that opened up between the two. But also because if he keeps playing like this, I mean, that price tag is going to be even higher, you know, come franchise tag point, right, you know, end of the contract point. But I saw something that was mind-blowing yesterday on Twitter. I can't remember who tweeted it. I believe Scott, Play Like a Jet, retweeted it. Right now, he is on pace, and right now, exactly, he is leading in every single important defensive stat category for the team. He has the most sacks. He has the most interceptions. He has the most defensive touchdowns. He has the most tackles. Like, he is first on the defense in every single category as a safety. So we've talked a lot about the fact that safety is not a premium position, but when you have a safety that is playing that way, it becomes a premium position. So I really do think that they have to do this as quickly as possible and just for the sake of everyone involved.
Yeah, I think you back up the Brinks truck and you just ask Jamal how much he can fit in his car. I think you ask him literally what do you want. Because listen, for no other reason, like I understand salary cap, I get all that, but like for a guy like that, who it seems like the team rises and falls on his leadership, like he seems like that guy, like you need that guy to feel bought into from ownership. And so, you know, whatever happened the last few weeks before and right after the trade deadline between him and Chris Johnson and Joe Douglas, and seemingly if they've buried the hatchet and Jamal's gotten back to just focusing on the field, he has 5 sacks, guys, in the last couple of games. He's the first player in like a decade, or the second, I guess, defensive back in the last 10 years to have 3 sacks in one game. Like, there is a specialness to this guy that, like, we can't, like, if we want to be a credible team in the NFL, you have to pay and reward your star players. Moving out Leonard Williams was a very brilliant move by Joe Douglas because it made this defense Jamal Adams' defense. Like, no, there's no question. It's his. Even when a guy like CJ Mosley comes back, like, Jamal is the leader of this defense, and you need to pay him likewise. He and Sam, seemingly, whatever also happened with Sam after the Dolphins loss, and he's being way more assertive. I know a lot of guys are reporting he's being way more assertive with the game plan and how he wants to run things. Like, as Jamal and Sam have taken ownership of this team, we have 2 straight wins. Like, I know they're not, you know, against world-beating playoff teams, but wins are wins in the NFL. And so I want players that are bought in, feel rewarded, don't feel like they're being, you know, given the runaround. Like, this is not a guy you wait on, because if he even sniffs free agency, someone is coming in and offering him almost, you know, maybe a third more than the Jets are going to offer him. And we cannot get outbid on this guy. Like, do not lose the momentum of buying. Like, I'd re-sign him before the end of this season. I'd give him a 4-year deal, and you back the truck up. Make him the highest paid safety in the league. No question. Yeah.
I mean, you know, like, what is, you know, what was Darren Sharper worth to his team in his prime? What was Earl Thomas worth to his team in his prime? What was Eric Weddle or Jack Tatum or, help me out, Rodney Harrison, Eric Berry, Ronnie Lott.
Ed Reed.
Troy Polamalu. Like, what are these players worth to their organizations? Like, they're worth everything to their organization. I understand they play a safety position, but they – like, you know, and that's, you know, quote unquote, you know, not cool in terms of valuation, you know, when it comes to analytics or whatever, doesn't matter. Like, you see the plays he makes, you see the difference he makes, you see, you know, the thing he did to Daniel Jones last week where he jumped over the pile and yanked him backwards. Like, you can't put a value on that sort of thing over the course of, you know, 3 years, 4 years, you know, in terms of what it means to that, that organization. And so, yeah, I agree with you. You just, you make him the highest paid player and be done with it. We'll see what the team does. But if you're right, if I'm the GM, I understand that I got to balance a lot of things. But that is one thing I definitely don't make a change on, because it's like trading Sam Darnold or getting rid of Sam Darnold. Like his value is beyond what you can actually, you know, pay that person. So anyway, totally. We'll see. I really do hope the Jets, you know, figure that out. And you know, when they have announced Chris, you know, we haven't talked about this since last week. You know, this happened in the meantime since we had our last podcast. The Jets announced the fact that, you know, via Chris Johnson to the reporters that there's going to be no changes in the organization coming up in 2020. You know, when you've already kind of made that announcement and that proclamation, like what better way to kind of create continuity than to extend a player like Jamal Adams, right? You're saying that, hey, this is the team, this is the core group, from the front office to the coaching staff to the, you know, kind of cornerstone players. You know, this is an opportunity to cement that. And I hope the Jets actually do that. But I'm curious, talking about Gase and his being safe in 2020. I know how we feel about this, but. And I know that they just beat two teams that, you know, basically can't rub a win between them together, the Giants and Washington. So, but Travis, when you think about where this team has been and the fact that Chris Johnson made this announcement at this point, you know, how do you feel about that? Does that enrage you? Does that upset you? Are you kind of fine, or just like, it doesn't matter because he's dead anyway in a year? How do you feel about the fact that Chris Johnson came out, went out of his way to make this announcement in November?
I think I was probably a little bit more conflicted about it than most people that I've talked to and that I know via Jets Twitter and everything else. One thing that I think is so important to, you know, Sam Darnold's development is some form of continuity, especially within, you know, the offensive scheme and coaching. I don't want to see him become Alex Smith, who has, you know, seven different offensive coordinators throughout the beginning of his career, and then comes on, you know,
gets Andy Reid, right? Yeah, gets Andy Reid, or well, I guess it was really who was the coach? Harbaugh. That was really kind of the guy who cemented him. Yeah.
You know, I don't want to see that, but at the same time, you know, what is continuity if the continuity is mediocrity or worse than mediocrity. So I was very conflicted. I don't think I've ever made any bones about not being stoked about Adam Gase being there. But at the same time, if these two games and the attitude around the locker room and what Sam Darnold's doing, like you were talking about with him being more assertive, things like that, if those are indicative of where this is going, then I'm fully supportive of that. If these are flukes because we're playing bad teams, then no. But I was glad that Chris Johnson came out and said that, and it was a little ballsy of him to say that when everything was in such a shitty point. So I give him a little bit of props for that, but those are very minimal props. Highly minimal, because I still wish that they would just sell the damn team to somebody else. I've staked my flag on that mountain. But yeah, I think I was more conflicted than most people, so I'm kind of on the fence about it.
Fair. It's fine to be on the fence. That's okay.
Nothing surprises. I mean, Chris Johnson's in he's in the Tyson zone where nothing he says will surprise me with his leadership. Like, nothing shocks me. Bad leadership will also always recognize bad leadership. And so right at the time he did it, it seemed like the most ridiculous thing. I mean, we predicted it for months that, you know, losing Sam D'Amato and then, you know, having injuries hit and, you know, all the craziness happened. Like, of course it wasn't going to be fair to judge him, but like, he's the one creating a lot of this stuff. And so, like, even this week, you know, obviously the stuff coming out from Quincy about the fines, and then other players chirping in saying, like, I've never been somewhere where player fines were publicized like that, like on a digital screen for everyone to, like, it's like Adam Gase brought the stock, like the stocks back out to the middle of the square, and he put Quincy's head in it with his arms up so people could throw tomatoes at him. And it's like, there's just a million signs here that he's not a great leader, regardless if the team is winning, right? Like, but does that mean that a capable, you know, connection between a coach and his quarterback and his team isn't going to be possible or somewhat mediocre after 10 weeks? Like, it'd be crazy to think that even, you know, like, with, given the schedule, given Sam getting some of his confidence back, like, they were certainly going to win some games because there's at least enough talent to beat the last two teams they've beaten. But, you know, I don't want him back, but at the same time, nothing surprises me. So, you know, if nothing else, next year there's a really talented team that goes 6-10, and we realize, like, okay, he is not getting the most out of this talent. He has to go after 2020. You know, it was hard on Saturday watching Matt Rhule and Baylor, like, annihilate another team, and it's like, we could have had that guy. Like, we had friggin' Matt Rhule in the building, and we let him walk out, and it's like, man, imagine where we might be with a guy like that, feeling like, even with all the stuff that's happened this year, you know, a young team with a young coach with an exciting offense coming under Matt Rhule, like, that guy turns things around quickly. And so, man, it's frustrating to not have that guy, but, you know, I'm hopeful that, you know, 2 years from now, there's another great prospect coming up. And maybe at that point, someone like Joe Douglas has some more buy-in and can really hire the coach he wants.
Yeah, I'm conflicted. I hear where Travis is coming from, and I agree. Like, the season has certainly not been optimal for Adam Gase. I've never been a fan of Adam Gase. But I never expected him to be a one and out coach. So I do respect the fact that, because Chris Johnson knew that he was going to, the decision was already made regardless of how the season ended. He was not going to evaluate, like, a lot of times you hear owners midseason say, well, we'll evaluate Todd Bowles, you know, after his fourth year and see how he is, whatever it is, right? Like, they do that sort of thing. This was not that. And so, right, it afforded Gase the ability in his locker room, in his coaching staff, kind of with his, you know, front office, to say, this is going to be the person who's going to be there in 2020. Now, obviously, Chris Johnson, the season could end dismally and Chris Johnson could change his mind, and we'll look back at this moment and say, like, this is why you shouldn't have said anything at that time, and you look stupid because you went back on your word. But at this point, there's no upside to Chris Johnson essentially making a change, because it makes him look foolish to do it. So therefore, even if Matt Rhule says, please hire me, like, he's not going to do it, in this coming off season, which is a shame, and it's the situation. But right, we're living through this with Gase for 2020. So, you know, my hope is they can make the best of it and figure some things out.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Play like a Jet.
Play like a Jet.
Hey guys, before I give you back to Brian, just want to remind you about the great deal that you can get over at Vivid Seats when you download the Vivid Seats mobile app and get up to $100 off on your very first purchase when you use the promo code OVERTIME. You can use that code to buy yourself tickets for the Jets and the Raiders game this Sunday, or any other event that's coming to town. The Radio City Christmas Spectacular is coming to town. There's wrestling shows, concerts, other sporting events, hockey and basketball, and so much more. You can get tickets for yourself, or you can go ahead and buy tickets as Christmas presents. Don't worry, won't tell anybody that you're getting their presents at a bit of a discount. Get a great deal on great seats right now when you download the Vivid Seats mobile app and use the promo code OVERTIME. You get up to $100 off on your very first purchase. All right, Brian, sorry about that. Go ahead, my man.
I think that's about it in terms of actual Jets content, but there are a couple things that I have to ask. Like, I was on the timeline. I don't know if you guys have any timeline things that you saw that were interesting. You want to add one? Go ahead. Please do.
No, so I'm searching for it again right now. I did see it might have also been from Connor.
While you're looking, I have something on the timeline. I saw Travis. You retweet things from time to time, and I saw one from a gentleman named Keith Pandolfi, who is a writer. I believe he wrote for Savour and some. He kind of is a whatever.
James Beard nominated writer. I believe he might have actually won one.
I think he did. He did when he was with Savour.
Great guy.
Serious Eats or whatever. So he tweeted this, which you retweeted, which says, I think American restaurants have reached peak tufted upholstery, capital T, capital U. So what is tufted upholstery? What is tufted upholstery, and why have American restaurants reached peak tufted upholstery?
You know, I came to this thought recently when I was working on a lot of the design aspects for the new restaurant that's opening up next year. And I was going through a lot of design books and talking to designers, and everyone was coming to me with like this thick, fluffy, like straight out of Pioneer Woman, some kind of, I don't know. Like, I'm out of touch when it comes to like those reality show crap.
Oh, you mean the people in Texas, Fixer Upper.
Yeah, or Oklahoma or somewhere. Yeah. I don't know.
Shiplap. Like, a lot of shiplap for your restaurant.
Yes, that is just like this overly fluffy kind of upholstery in the dining room, and it looks like, I don't know. It looks like
so tufted. Tufted is like the stuff where it's like someone has put in a button down into the upholstery at like regular intervals to kind of make it kind of fold back in. Correct.
Exactly.
So it's like banquettes at a gross, like at a club or like something, like they'll tend to do that sort of thing. Right. Or
yep.
As on a backsplash on a wall, you'll see it like as a back of a banquette, you'll see it at a trendy restaurant.
And it's, I don't know. I'm just over it. It's uncomfortable. It doesn't look great to me. And I don't know.
Cleaning it must be awful. Like, I'm trying to think about, like, in a restaurant, how terrible would it be to clean? Where you've got all these, like, crumb holes, essentially, crumb and, like, liquid holes that all the stuff would go down into. I mean, if it's on a flat, like a horizontal surface, I would imagine, right? On a vertical surface, that's an issue. But
also, you have to bear in mind, if you see that I've been retweeting a bunch of crap on Twitter, that means that I have been drinking and I am not at a point where I feel like I am comfortable enough to say anything that is actually on my mind. So.
Oh my gosh. Well, that's fair. So basically when we see retweets, it's like, just assume they're drunk retweets.
Yes, 100%.
Josh, I have another one for you. You sent to us kind of our text thread this week by a gentleman on Twitter, Jeff_Crisanti, a.k.a. Jeff Blue. And it says, if White Claw doesn't make a peppermint-flavored holiday seltzer and call it Santa Claus, I will riot. How brilliant is this guy? I mean, we need to get Jeff Blue a job at White Claw, because I agree. If they don't have a holiday seltzer named Santa Claus.
Trav, I feel like, if nothing else, can you make one of these and just give us a review and then just own it? Like, you become Santa Claus.
You know, my buddy has a vodka distillery down here, and we've actually made a couple we've talked about it a little bit. But beyond that, I think that since we all have Richmond ties we should all march down to Belle Isle Moonshine.
Belle Isle. Oh, I know the owners of Belle Isle.
Yeah, we all have connections to the people there. They are doing seltzers now.
Oh, shit. I didn't know that.
I feel like it might be a little touchy on the trademark portion, but yeah. It might get them some really good publicity.
Right. Nothing like a lawsuit to give you some publicity on.
Exactly. I think we've got avenues here that we are not exploring.
Not exhausting. Yeah, we exploring. Yeah, I'm afraid it might be too late, but I will definitely get in touch with them today. I'm definitely going to get in touch with them today. We'll have an update for next week. It might be that I sent a LinkedIn message to the owner and he's like, fuck off. But you know,
I also need to try to figure out a way to do some form of Jets themed White Claw. Considering the between myself, you guys, Paulie, there's enough Jets White Claw drinkers to where I think we've got a market there.
I think this is great. So like, you know how Nike would do these, like you would know this, Travis, more than I, like Nike will do these like one-off shoes, like the Yeezys, and then people can kind of do their own style. Like John Geiger, you know, the guy who used to be Darrell Revis's admin assistant or whatever. I mean, he's got a huge business now where he's personalizing. He was doing like personalizing of Nike shoes and stuff like that. So like you could kind of create your own seltzer flavor. So you could do like a Jets themed green apple and white.
If we want to go thematically, I think it's got to taste like shit.
Yeah, I feel like we just make a straight on vodka seltzer, and then we get like really bad peppermint essential oils and just drop it in and drink it.
Yep. Or maybe we go cheesecake flavored because.
Oh yeah. Oh, I like that. I like that idea. That's a tie in with what's the cheesecake place in? Is it out in Brooklyn or Queens?
Oh, Juniors. Shoot.
Yes, yeah, Juniors. Yep. Like, you get Juniors as a tie-in. Like, we could have a cheesecake-flavored seltzer. That'd be good. I'd be down with that. Heck yeah.
And we just call it sadness.
All right. I think we got something to work on. Unfortunately, because it's almost Thanksgiving, like, we are woefully late to get this product to market in time for the holidays. But you know what? If we don't try to do it and fail miserably, then it's why would we be Jets fans? Like, we're, you know, this is how the Jets just, yep. You know, go, the organization goes at things year to year, day to day. So.
Another Richmond shout out. Like if we can make our schedules coalesce, it's looking like I bought, if anyone out there in Richmond land, Virginia land knows Hardywood Brewing. And so I went ahead months ago and pre-bought their gingerbread stout sampler. And so you get like a 12 pack, but you've got to pick it up in person. And so there's a good chance the week of December 13th through 18th, I got to make a quick drive down.
Ooh,
listen, let's meet at the worst gas station we can find with some vodka seltzer and some peppermint oils, and we'll film a podcast.
That sounds good to me. Let's do it. I'm in. I am all in.
I don't think you had to ask if I was in.
I said vodka seltzers and gas stations, and Travis is like, come on in. Let's do it.
I'm like, that's a Tuesday. I mean.
All right. Well, I think we have just about covered everything so far. So thank you, gentlemen, for taking the time to talk about the Jets and their 34-17 win over Washington Redskins. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Thank you to Play Like a Jet, who publishes this. So be sure to rate and review the podcast in whatever podcast tool platform you use. And thanks again, and we will talk to you next week.
Pay President Jamal Adams.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky?
In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.